You have to have emotion and energy to win in the National Football League. So we know we're going to have that, but we work in practice on precision and performing under pressure. We put ourselves, our offense and our defense, in those situations where you're going to have your emotion flowing. We practice against each other, our offense against defense, our first group against pride riding on it, so that you do get that idea of how can I function best when I do have a lot of energy and emotion going.
That was, of course, Tony Dungy, the king, if you will, of the coaching hill right now. And here's a young coach in Luke Jensen. And we're also joined by Fred Eng from the National Alliance for Youth Sports. Fred, as always, thanks for joining us.
I thought you were going to say I was a king.
Well, you are the king of the youth sports hill, buddy.
Glad
hey,
to be
Luke,
there.
Hey, Luke. Luke, you've got a big contest. This is, I think, your first match with Syracuse and the women's team. When you listen to Tony Dungy talk about getting his guys ready, how much does that ring true for you?
Oh, absolutely. I had to change the environment here at Syracuse University. This is a team that hadn't been ranked nationally since 2001, but had all nationally ranked junior players on its collegiate team. They had underachieved, and so the first thing I did was we were going to work on attitude and fitness. And as we went along, they kept on thinking that my expectations were much higher than theirs. And I said, the winning will take care of itself, but we have to train to win. We have to believe that we can win. And every single day, we're taking that step towards that. And so much of the athlete is buying into the system that you believe in them, and they believe in their dreams.
Fred Eng, you have to inspire and cultivate a system of standards to raise the game, if you will, to make sure kids get the right experience, that parents and coaches get the right experience. It's not just about building a beautiful tennis court or building a great softball or football or soccer field. Tell me some of the best examples. Give us one to start off this segment about how kids have to deal with adversity and the best way to go about that.
Well, I'll give you a quick example. I was watching a T-ball game, and we're talking kids that are 5 and 6 years old one day. I saw a kid on the pitcher's mound who looked like he was probably 12 years old. And I'm saying, you got to be kidding. That wasn't the worst of it. He threw the ball with all kinds of speed. He got up to bat and he'd crack the ball away. He was the same age as these other kids. And these other kids are looking and saying, you know, what am I doing out here with this big kid, this almost bully to them? And
this guy with the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, right. And so what happens is the kids, especially, you know, when you're at the T-ball age or you're coming up, people don't realize that they're early maturers and late maturers. The early maturers, man, they're the ones that put fear into the hearts of these kids, and that's a fallacy of youth sports because kids can vary for 4 years in age. You can either be an early mature or late mature, meaning there's a four-year variance. And so that's what kids have to deal with in adversity of growing up and overcoming that. Some kids can. Some kids are filled with tremendous amount of fear, and all they do is run up to daddy and mommy and say, I want out of here. I want out of here. This isn't fun. And that's the adversity that kids have to deal with in their initial version of all of this.
Dr. Jacobs, what would Michael Jordan have done if he hadn't grown that extra 6 inches before his senior year? He went from being, what was it, you know, 6 feet tall, 5'11", to 6'5", 6'6", and went on to score 29 points as a senior. But before that, he'd been a very good but not really top-ranked player. What would he have done?
Well, we probably wouldn't have heard of his name. My sense is, you know, failure is something that we all have to deal with at different points in our life, and not achieving our goals is something we all have to deal with. And how you adjust to that when you get to the age you're talking about with the Michael Jordan at the high school level really comes from the lessons you've learned from your parents and from your coaches at a younger age. I mean, Luke is working with these young ladies to try to get them to change their attitudes around. And attitudes which can be taught and developed are things that can change. But the problem is a lot of people are taught the wrong things, and they're taught they can't rather than they can.
You know, in Native Vision, Luke Jensen, back 10 years ago, we had Tiffany Milbritt and Christy Pierce, who were with the U.S. soccer team before they won the big championship. And we were playing basketball with them as well as soccer. And these girls were excellent. I'm talking excellent, fearless basketball players playing with former NBA players, NFL players who are twice their size, and I thought to myself, this team is going to be something. What is it about some groups of girls that have the U Sports experience, where they play as a team, where they learn that adversity is their friend, not their enemy?
Well, I think that really comes down to your upbringing. I have a couple of girls on my team, and we have private meetings and weekly reviews on how things are going, and it's come to light that they were made to play the game of tennis, that they really don't even like tennis. They get it, they get an education by it, and they're good at it, but they don't enjoy going to the practice court. They don't like competition. So to me, my parents and parents from the Agassiz, I see parents have such a huge role to play in a positive light. The Williams sisters are a great example. They believe they're the best. They can be out of shape. Maybe they're injured, but they believe they're there to win, that they have the capability to do it. And like the soccer players or any athlete that has performed at such a high level, you've got to have that feeling inside that you're the best.
And no matter the parental experience, Fred Eng, you know, Andre Agassi, I played an exhibition against him with Ivan Lendl back in 1988 in the middle of the football season at night, and it was such an honor. And this was an 18, 19-year-old. I wasn't used to, you know, the guys getting the ball back. I was enjoying him hitting it harder and harder. And he was, some people would say, kind of a punk there at 18. So even though his parents, Luke Jensen, were great in many respects, he had to learn on his own some of those fundamental lessons. So let's start first with Fred Eng about that. What is it then that makes the transition so that the young person who's depending on good parental support begins to be able to learn their own lessons and apply those on their own?
Well, and it goes to what Luke said a couple of weeks ago, and that is, I remember him talking about, you asked him the question about Maria Sharapova, what would he do,
sure,
you know, in that situation. And he is exactly right once again, and that is, in terms of parents, it all becomes in the beginning of teaching kids ethics and fair play and sportsmanship, all of the things that they can instill in their kids. That's where you'll find the great athletes of the next step up the ladder, and that is at the collegiate level or the pro level. You look at these people that have those ethics, and those are the people in the long run that really succeed, make it all the way up to the pro Hall of Fames. You look at all the things today, the people, whether it's the McGuires or whoever, they're questioned going into the Hall of Fame. It's because of that early beginning of training and ethics. And that's the thing that is so important to all of us here at the National Alliance, to be able to instill in parents, to be able to say, this is what you're producing for the future, and it's not just an athlete.
Dr. Jacobs, and I want Luke to follow up on this, is you saw a different Serena Williams. She was 20 pounds overweight. Luke and I talked about it every day early in the Australian Open, but she was playing for, she was enjoying it. It has become her sport. It has become something that is her definition. She's writing her own chapters. And at the end, when she won, she said she dedicated it to her sister who'd been killed more than a year ago. So let me ask you this. Is the focal point when the young person becomes, if you will, a young adult, just like an Andre Agassi went from just playing for himself to understanding that the game was bigger than him? Does it require that kind of monumental experience like Serena had to realize that you got to learn to have goals that are bigger than just you?
I think that can work for a lot of people, but I think the bigger issue is maturity. And I think for a lot of young athletes, when they hit a point in their career, and maybe it's at 14, maybe it's at 26, but there comes a point for all of us where we're faced with having to act in a mature way and start to really realize some things. And I think for her, this became an internal motivator that challenged her, even though, as Luke mentioned, when she first was playing there, she was out of shape and a step slower. She still was able internally to channel her attitude, her direction, her motivation, her focus to play better than everybody else. And I think Serena Williams was mentally far superior than all of her opponents, because she would not quit and give up.
Luke, tell me what you tell your young athletes at Syracuse on the women's team there that you've just taken over. You're trying to set the table, if you will, for your regime there as the coach and turn things around. How would you use the Serena Williams example?
Yeah, I think, Nick, first of all, there's a great, great ad on Nike.com on Serena Williams. As soon as you punch up Nike.com, there's a big little commercial, short commercial with Serena Williams that talks about dedication and belief and power. So everyone should go to that, Nike.com. But when I talk to these girls at this collegiate level, I really want them to keep things in perspective, that it's just a tennis match. This is not life and death. It's just win or lose. And wins will take care of itself if you prepare to succeed. And they put so much pressure that we have to win. I just want them to have fun. And if they have fun, we will win. It doesn't, you know, the score doesn't matter. Are we having fun at practice? Are we having fun when the pressure's on? Those are the real champions.
You know, when they interviewed Dwight Freeney yesterday, what was interesting, and once again, a sign of how this team matured over the last year, is when that opening kickoff, just as the previous 2 weeks ago, and when they had the Patriots get way ahead, when that opening kickoff by Hester could have thrown them off, Freeney said, listen, we understand we have to lock down for four quarters. Dr. Jacobs, how would you define that? How would you define the idea that the athlete in any sport has to lock down and understand that it's a four-quarter game?
Well, it's the old saying, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and you have to look at the whole put it all in perspective. It's a long day, and one play doesn't end the game at the beginning of the game. You've got to look at the whole picture. When you go out and play golf, like I said earlier, when you hit your first tee shot into the woods, you've still got a whole 18 holes to play.
And not that you've ever done that before.
What's that?
Not that you've never ever done that before.
Yeah, well, we've all done it. And,
oh, yeah.
And the thing is this. You know, Luke, how many times did you double fault the first time on the first point? I mean, it happens, but it's the first point, and you can come back after that. You know, it's the whole situation. I like to use the quote that my great-uncle, Hirsch Jacobs, when he died, was the winningest trainer in horse racing history, told me. Sports is the greatest theater in the world. Everyone knows their part, but no one knows what will happen. You've just got to keep
guys. Here's Tony Dungy. Speaking of golf, and then we'll wind up with our conclusions about this with Fred Eng. Here's Tony Dungy about golf.
I think I've got it. He's going to play well, so I've got to play better. I think golf is the ultimate game of blocking out everything and playing against the course and trying to take everything else out of it. And that's what Tiger seems to do better than anyone playing right now.
Fred Enge, let's get back to you now with the National Alliance. If we're setting standards for coaching, what's the fundamental standard that you would say can be expected of all coaches in how to set their athletes up for adversity?
And this has been said 1,000 times everywhere in the world, but with children, and we have to remember there's a big difference, but below the age of 13, this is not sports. This is a developmental process socially, and it needs to be fun for kids or else they'll quit.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Luke Jensen about applying that lesson of dealing with adversity to the Davis Cup with final thoughts from Luke Jensen, Dr. Andrew Jacobs, and Fred Enge of the National Alliance for Youth Sports. Stay with us. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite Channel 120.